According to legend, Romulus and Remus founded the original city on the Palatine Hill in 753 BC, from whence it gradually spread to six other hills east of the river Tiber, eventually becoming known as the City of the Seven Hills. I say legend because the legend was Romulus and Remus were brought up by wolves. Now, although this is depicted to be legend, there is some truth in it, because we do see a development of Rome throughout the pages of history. This history is seen in the prophecy of Daniel, which needs to be considered at the outset. So I'd ask you to turn to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, and beginning at verse 31, concerns Nebuchadnezzar's dream. At verse 31 it says, "Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and filled the whole earth." Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. He had this dream, which troubled him. He sent for the wise men, but they could not provide answers. God revealed the answer to one of the slaves, Daniel by name, and he gave the interpretation to the king in the following verses of Daniel chapter 2 and verse 37. He says, "Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall rise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Here is a synopsis throughout history, since the days of Babylon, right up until today and the near future. Daniel showed the king that four different metals of the image represent four world empires that would arise. The ten toes represent a multiplicity of nations that would replace the fourth empire. And the stone that smote the image and completely destroyed and supplanted it represented the kingdom of God, which shall be set up on earth, overthrowing the kingdoms of men. Briefly, Daniel identified the head of gold as the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar, which in its plenitude was one of the richest, most powerful and universal influence. History reveals that Nebuchadnezzar rose to power in the year 606 BC, which ended 70 years later in 536 BC, when Darius the Mede and Cyrus of Persia conquered the city. The power of the Medo-Persian Empire continued for 203 years, until the historic Battle of Issus, whereby by the power of Persia was broken by Alexander the Great of Macedon of Greece in BC 333. Alexander's triumph was short-lived. It is stated that he died at the age of 33 during the course of a drinking bout in Babylon, after his army had incurred terrible sufferings in an attack deep into India. It followed that upon his death, the Grecian Empire declined and was eventually divided up by his four generals, who proceeded to wage war upon each other. In Daniel 2 and verse 40, it stated that the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, breaking in pieces and subduing all these things. These words describe the development of Rome, which took the whole region around the Mediterranean, made inroads into Britain, Syria, Mesopotamia, and Egypt. All were conquered in turn. In this time, Rome was never conquered by a foreign power, but it did deteriorate from within. And this is seen in the two iron legs of the image of the dream, which subsequently split into many parts, hence the toes of the image. History shows that scripture is true, even in its representative detail. In the 4th century AD, the capital of the Roman Empire was transferred from the city of Rome to the Constantinople area in the east. It is the Roman Empire that was instrumental in the decline of Jerusalem and inflicted great oppression upon the people of Israel, especially to those who followed the Messiah. In fact, we know that at their hands the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. The Bible informs us of the death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. If you turn to Psalm 110. Psalm 110, verse 1. The psalmist says, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand." Why and how long? "Until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies." Again, Acts chapter 1. Verse 9. "And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." And Acts chapter 2, verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom we have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Then the Roman armies came against the Jews with a ruthless determination to annihilate them. Matthew 24 gives us an idea of their plight. Matthew 24, verse 16. I'll begin at verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When he therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. You can see who was instrumental in those days, but the Roman armies coming upon Israel with sole purpose of determination and elimination. Luke chapter 21. Verse 20. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter therein too. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Matthew chapter 23. Verse 34. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets, and wise men, and scribes. And some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in his synagogues, and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom he slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and he would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Those were the times. Those were the times that the Jews were at peril, almost annihilated by the Roman armies, taken into slavery, tortured, put to death. The Romans massacred the Jews with overwhelming brutality. And in AD 70, Jerusalem was totally destroyed. The survivors were taken into slavery. They became scattered into all parts of the earth. Why? Why? Well, I'd like to take you right back to the beginning, into Deuteronomy chapter 28. Verse 64. The Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, Would God it were even. And at even thou shalt say, Would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes shalt thou not, which thou shalt see. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again. And there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. Now that's the end of a chapter, a long chapter, where in the first 14 verses are all the blessings. It's only promised if they obeyed God. But if they became rebellious and disobedient, all the curses were passed on the Jewish nation. And we have seen, as a result, through history, the persecution of the Jews, right up until today. Anti-Semitism is not dead. It exists to this day. Well, actually, Jesus himself prophesied this. as shown in Luke 21, verse 24. They shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So is that the end of the matter? Well, no. It is clear from the Bible that the revelation of God provides a prophetical outline of things which must shortly come to pass. It is equally clear that this includes ecclesiastical affairs as well as historical developments. Now, the last book of the Bible, as we know it, Revelation, warns of the controversies that would upset the Jewish communities, and prophetically foretells the development of a system of ecclesiastical apostasy that would arise, which can be clearly identified with the Roman Catholicism. The followers of Jesus continue to preach the gospel message of the kingdom of God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it was always under great persecution. Even though the Roman emperors, such as Nero, each in turn tried their very best to stamp out the new religion, it had the opposite effect. It grew rapidly. Given the historian, the author of the book, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, traces the victory of Christianity as partly the cause of Rome's collapse. Whilst political wrangling and assassinations all led to the end of this great power, its influence has not died. Paul the Apostle predicted the rise of false teachers and the apostasy. You turn with me to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them, which believe and know the truth. Forbidding to marry. Who can we connect with that kind of doctrine? Commanding to abstain from meats. Who can we associate that with? 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Paul says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers of an itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And that is the kind of superstitious teaching of the Roman Catholics of today. Now in our reading in Revelation 17 and verse 1, we are told that John was invited to view the judgment of the great whore or harlot that sitteth upon many waters. He's then shown a vision of a woman seated upon a beast, arrayed in scarlet, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and fornications. And in verse 5 of that chapter, she is identified. She's actually given a name and a title. And what is the connection with Rome? And here's the answer. Mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. That is her name and official title. Babylon the Great. Mystery. Mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And it is that title that associates Babylon with Rome. Well, how can we prove that? What does it mean? In Revelation 17 and verse 15, we have the answer. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the host sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Many waters that represent many people, many nations. This whore had a universal influence. The whore does not refer to a literal woman, but to an unfaithful religious system that has strayed from Bible teachings. This is clearly opposite to what Paul the Apostle said of a faithful community, which he likened to a chaste virgin in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 2. In which he says, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Totally opposite. We're talking about a harlot. The unfaithful woman is aptly described in Revelation chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Some communities of the first century taught perverse things and drew disciples away after them. But where is the proof that Babylon refers to Rome? Revelation 17 and verse 18. The woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Well, that still doesn't really prove that Babylon connects with Rome, doesn't it? The only city that reigned over the kings of the earth in the days of John the Apostle was Rome, the metropolis of the Roman Empire. Revelation 17 and verse 2, it says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of their fornication. The reference to fornication is not literal, but it is figurative. Rome is prepared to compromise with governments and authorities in order to extend her influence. And this completes the identification of Babylon the Great with Rome. And it's no wonder Roman Catholicism discourages its members to read the Bible, because it would reveal Rome to be Babylon the Great, or vice versa. Now there is a more specific connection in Revelation 17 verse 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. I ask you a question. What city is built on seven hills? Rome. I took this as an extract from something I read. And of early Rome, place, one hill was called Sumalus. Of later Rome, it became Aventine. That was the name of a hill. Another one was called Cispius in early Rome. And later Rome, it was known as the Caelian Hill. Of early Rome, Fagutal, which became Capitoloni. Another one, Opius, became Esquiline. Another one, Palatium, became Palatine. Another one was Secusa, which became Quirinal. Another one, Velia, became Viminal. And it was interesting reading these particular characteristics of the hills. In Aventine, the hill is where Remus chose to live. In historical times, it was the home of the plebeians who built a temple to Ceres in the 5th century BC. It also had temples for Liber and Libera. In the Caelian Hill, many of Rome's elite lived on this hill during the Roman Republic. In Capitoline, this hill was the site of many of Rome's earliest fortresses. It was also the hill of the government. Temples of Jupiter, Optimus, Maximus, Juno, Moneta, and Concord are located on this hill. On the hill Esquiline, this hill has a walled city on it since at least the 700s BCE. The Palatine Hill, of which we are more familiar with, this hill is the hill of Romulus. In classical times, it was the hill where Rome's rich and powerful chose to live. Walled villages and tombs have been found here, and the people who lived in those villages seem to be dominant to their contemporaries since the 700s BCE. The Temple of Magna Mater is located on the Palatine Hill. The Quirinal Hill. It is on this hill that the Sabines once lived and built their city. Archaeological evidence supports habitation of this hill since at least the 8th century through tomb and walled village excavations. And lastly, the Viminal Hill is the smallest of the seven great hills and was one of the last to be included inside the walls of Rome. Another part of that extract is that the Capitoline is the only distinct hill today. But all seven hills were once unique. The Quirinal, Viminal, Esquiline, and Caelian hills are really headlands of an ancient volcanic ridge. The Palatine, Aventine, and Capitoline hills were separate from the others. Long ago, there were marshy ravines between all of the hills and between the hills and the Tiber River. These have been drained, and the ravines are now filled in with the remains of civilization. Archaeology has proven that on each of the seven original hills they were walled cities. Historians and archaeologists have found evidence of ancient enmity between peoples living on the Quirinal and Esquiline hills against those on the Velian and Palatine hills. This could help explain the reasons for choosing Remus and Romulus as leaders of the warring peoples, living on the Aventine and Palatine hills respectively. So there was truth in it, although being raised by wolves is probably legend. Babylon the Great is therefore linked to Rome. It's linked to the papacy. It's linked to the apostasy. And yet that is not the end. The book of Revelation reveals more in support of the prophecy of Daniel. As we have seen, the title given to this powerful influence is Mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, and depicts the ever-increasing unity of the Catholics and other denominations. Again, referring to Gibbon's book, The Decline and Fall of the Emperor, the Roman Empire, he declared, during the 10 centuries of blindness and servitude, Europe received her religious opinions from the Oracle of the Vatican, and the same doctrines already varnished with the rust of antiquity was admitted without dispute into the creed of the reformers, who disclaimed the supremacy of the Roman pontiff. The Synod of Chalcedon still triumphs in the Protestant churches. Mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Such an antagonistic, powerful system cannot continue in light of Bible prophecy. This is clear from the prophecy of Daniel. Following the dividing of the Roman Empire into the eastern part in Rome and the western part in Constantinople, the empire further degraded into factions, and in course of time 10 smaller nations, answering to the 10 tours of the image, developed. And this we know today as Europe, currently in turmoil. Currently, in that all-important word in Luke, perplexity, chaos. In modern times, Rome has become known as the Eternal City, largely because of the alleged eternal nature of the Vatican. This last part of Daniel's prophecy also shows that the feet are mixed with iron and clay. Iron depicts the Roman influence, while Russia forms the clay. These are two substances which do not mix, yet make compromises and support each other. We cannot go into the detail of the clay at this time. Another lecture is designated to explain its connection. But what follows next is the description of the stone power. The stone power will inevitably destroy the image as a whole, and the victor will replace the image by growing into a great mountain which fills the earth, as we read in Daniel. Here is the indication that it is in God's plan and purpose to establish his kingdom on the earth and to place his son on the throne of that kingdom. This is evident from many Bible references, as we shall see. If we go to Revelation 11, verse 18. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and they were seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And they were lightnings, and voices, and thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail. We also read earlier that what would be the sign of the coming of the Son of Man. Revelation 11, verse 15. The kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Psalm 72. Verse 11. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And verse 8. We'll begin at verse 7. And to you, O troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 17. Acts 17 and verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, that is Jesus, whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 9. Which is a strong statement. The Lord shall be king over all the earth. So referring to the political organization upon which this harlot system is represented as writing, the prophecy predicts that when Christ returns to the earth, he will meet opposition. It says in Revelation 17, verse 13. These have one mind, and shall give their power and their strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the host sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, they shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. This is the end of Rome and all the abominations that they have influence in. One noted author, Avro Manhattan, he wrote a book called The Vatican-Moscow Alliance. He said the deadliest opponent of the Catholic Church until yesterday was communism. Today, the power elite of this same communist system have become her allies. What has prompted the Catholic Church to align herself with her former enemies? The answer to that question is to be found in the logic of events. It lies in the Church's realistic assessment that capitalism is doomed, that democracy has failed, that traditional Western culture is disintegrating, and that the West's ability to defend itself is being eroded on all fronts. And we are seeing that statement being played out before our eyes. This is the time of Christ's return. If somebody on the outside can see these things, surely we who have accepted the truth as it is in Jesus should be able to see these things developing before our very eyes. Today we are experiencing these effects with the current global meltdown in finance. Is this an indication of the end? What is the end according to Bible prophecy? Revelation 18. describes Rome's utter fall and destruction. And the end result is supported by Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44, which says, "The God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. The kingdom will break in pieces and consume all nations and shall stand forever." But there's more. In Revelation 19, verse 1, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia! And his smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honour to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. The stone power that we mentioned affects the whole world and will introduce a time of peace and blessing. An understanding of these things now, while it is still within your reach, will prepare you for a glorious future. The conditions that will then exist on earth are predicted in Isaiah chapter 2. If you turn there, Isaiah chapter 2. Beginning at verse 2. "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. And all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." What a glorious future. What a wonderful future. A time of peace and blessing and righteousness. All will know God in that time. All will know who Jesus Christ is at that time. That is what our glorious future is about. We cannot say that is happening in the world today. But the verses in Revelation 19 also show something. That the king has a wife. He has co-rulers. That's what the wife represents. The co-rulers. We also introduced the word saints. We've been told that these have endured great trials and tribulations. These have been persuaded of a better time to come, and having reached a full conviction of the truth, repented, and have been baptized into the Christ name. They are victors. They are the victors of their time. Revelation 20. Verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of his Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. 1,000 years. These are those that have come out through great tribulation to enter the kingdom of God. Have repented, have been baptized, have been persuaded of the time that now is, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to the earth at the appointed day by God and sits on the throne of David as rightful heir and king of God's kingdom. So we would ask you to think on these things now. It's imperative. Time is running out. In conclusion, we can only repeat Christ's warning in his absence. It says in Luke 21, verse 8, 34 and 36, take heed that he be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. Take heed to yourselves. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man.